Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Vav. The last thing we got up to the two dots on Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, and we just discussed the dinim of Shemen, what was unique about Shemen, and what was unique about Yayin, and why it is that we have a special bracha for Yayin. We don't have a special bracha for Shemen, and when indeed we make a bracha on Shemen at all, where it's something that's considered to be okay to drink, and it wouldn't be bottle to an ikar. So now we're up to the two. That's kimcha dechite. Yeah, we're talking about flour. So what would be the din of flour? Now, before we talk about that, we have to consider the fact that the nature of the bracha of borei pri is where you have a pri. If you don't have that pri, then we've already seen that if the pri is processed in a very special way, the more that it's processed, the more chosh of it is, sometimes to the point where we'll even give it a special bracha, such as by yayin and such as by pot. And we would have done that in the case of the zayit as well, except for the unique issues that were nogea making a special bracha. So what would be in a case where you take wheat? Now, wheat itself, if you would chew on a piece of wheat, you would make a borei pri ha'adama. The question is, once you've started to process that wheat, and now it's become flour, what would be the din? So Reb Yehuda says, well, it still is a pri ha'adama. Reb Nachman says it's not. It's shehakol ni'yeh bidvaro. Omar le'rovel Reb Nachman, but you should not argue on Reb Yehuda, because clearly Reb Yochanan and Shmuel agree with him. Because we just had yesterday, the Omer Reb Yehuda and Shmuel v'chein Omer Reb Yitzchak Omer Reb Yochanan, that shemen zayit mevorchin alov borei pri ha'etz. So what do you see from the fact that oil is called borei pri ha'etz still? It doesn't look like a zayit anymore, does it? So you see that ama afagav the ishtene, even though it has been changed and no longer looks like the fruit that it was, it still retains its bracha as a fruit and b'milte koi. Then why would you think this is any different? The flour no longer looks like the wheat that it was. Okay, but it's been changed in the same way that olive oil has been changed from the olive. And over there, everybody went along with the fact that it would be a borei pri ha'etz. So don't argue over here. Hachinami, it should be exactly the same. Afagav the ishtani, even though it's different and no longer looks like the wheat that it was, it still retains its din of being a borei pri ha'adama. Nah, me dummy, it's not similar at all. Because over there, in the case of the olive that was transformed into olive oil, hatam letle iluye achrina. The point is that it has reached the end stage of its higher level processing in having turned it into olive oil. Over here, it's been transformed from its initial state of being wheat, but it has certainly not arrived at its final transformation. Its transformation is not to be eaten as flour. Its transformation is to be eaten as cookies, bread, something nice. And therefore, there's no comparison at all. Obviously, I would agree that if we didn't have a special bracha on that wheat once it's been fully processed, if it's in that state, I would have made a borei pri ha'adama on the bread. It happens to be that the bread is its very special state, so we give it a special bracha. That's fine. But the fact that it's been transformed does not necessarily mean that it retains its din of ha'adama. That is very different. If it's transformed to its final state, then perhaps it would have, except that we have this special bracha. Therefore, Aitaina, in this case, it is not borei pri ha'adama. It certainly has not yet arrived at its stage of being a mizonot, and because of that, all that is left is to make on it a bracha shakol, because it's similar to eggs, meat, and so on and so forth. So therefore, sit inside. If it has iluya achrina, the iluya achrina would be bipat, and therefore it would be in its most beautiful format, which would be bread or cookies or whatever. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute. Are we claiming now that when something has a higher order way of improving it, we're not going to say a borei pri ha'adama, and it loses all of its status as being its initial state? A borei pri ha'adama, is that true? V'amar b'zeh, v'amar b'mas, v'amar shmuel, akara chaya. If you've got some raw pumpkin, or if you've got some kemach, now this is flour, but it specifies over here specifically barley flour. So on barley flour, it says, mevorkin aleo shakol nieh bidvaro, because barley is a lower class grain, And its flour is really more suitable for horses than for humans. But isn't that fact that it specifies barley, doesn't that imply that over here, my love, the chiti would be very priyadam? And that if, in fact, it were the flour of wheat, then enochinami, it would still retain its bracha beri pri adama. We would not say shakol niyapid for all. Otherwise, why did we mention barley? No, says the Gemara. We mention barley for another reason. The truth is, chitinami is also shakol niyapid for all. So why not say chiti? And for sure, barley would be a shakol. No, you see, because I might have thought that on barley, you bechlal don't make any bracha. It isn't even considered to be roy as a foodstuff yet. Because the ashmeinu de chiti, I might have thought, have been a hanimili de chiti, that we make a bracha at all. But on sa'are, lo livracha leklal. Kamash malan, that even barley, which is a lower level food, is still considered to be a food that at least requires a shakol. Come on, how would we have thought that barley flour wouldn't have a shakol? You're telling me that that's why I had to specify. How could I think that barley is not chayav in a shakol? Certainly not going to be worse than eating a little bit of salt or brine, right? I mean, that's ridiculous. And the fact is, migara mimelach v'zomit, it says in the Braita that ala melach ala zomit o meshakol niyabit varos. Even on salt, if you make a brach on salt, I mean, koshkin, you're going to make a brach on barley flour, no? How would be the havamina that is less than salt? It's true. No, I still need to know that you make a bracha at all, in this case, shakol, on barley flour. Because salka daitach amina, I might have thought that melach v'zamit avit inish t'shari l'pumi. Look, sometimes people do actually dip their finger in salt, and they'll lick the salt. So fine, people will do that. They'll take a little bit of brine and just swallow it. So it's considered to be a typical act of achila. It may not be completely typical, but it's not something really weird. But I would have thought that people are sort of careful not to eat raw barley flour, because raw barley flour will often give you intestinal worms, and therefore people avoid it. And people don't stick their finger into flour like that and then suck on it. So the kashula kukiani lo livracha leklal, and it would be considered to be something that people wouldn't look at as food. Kamash malon that kivan deitle hana amine boy beruche. Since the bottom line is that when it's eaten, there is hana of achila, therefore it is considered to be a food. Masha enkein in the case, now this seems to be problematic because of the olive. Remember we said before, somebody drinking olive oil, that is not considered to be a chiyav of a bracha because it is unhealthy. I mean, I would think that kukiani is unhealthy. I mean, so what we'll have to say is that there's a difference between the drinking of olive oil, which is considered to be ipso facto unhealthy, as opposed to eating something which may have a side effect that is unhealthy. So it could be that the barley is infected with worms and would give you intestinal worms. I understand, but that doesn't make eating barley flour ipso facto unhealthy. It might have an unhealthy impact. Masha Inkain, drinking raw oil is itself an unhealthy thing to do. Now, what about korah? The korah is the shoots of the palms. Now, the problem with eating the shoots of the palm, although they're soft and they're delicious and they're very nice in salads and so on, is that each one of those shoots, if it would not have been eaten, would have been left alone, it would have grown into a lulav, basically. It would have grown into another branch of the palm. Now, the question is, do people typically take off shoots from palm? Will they plant a palm tree in order to ruin it like that by eating the shoots? So that's the question over here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that look, I mean, the bottom line is, it's growing out of the ground. It is not a fruit. So a tree that grows out of the ground is a bari pri ha'adama, and you're eating the tree. So that's a bari pri ha'adama. It's not the pri of the eights, obviously. Shmuel says, no, you don't even say bari pri ha'adama on it. You only say shakol niyabid varo. So Rabbi Yehuda says, why in the world would we not consider the shoot itself to be a fruit of the ground? I mean, it's something that grew. We put on the stand. It's worse than a tomato. Isn't it a pirahu? Shmuel says, no, because you say shakol niyabid varo on something that is only temporarily edible. And over here, in the end, the korah is not really a fruit. Leave it alone, and it becomes the actual tree. It grows into a lulav branch. Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, look, I'm arguing on you, but the truth is, you make a lot of sense. Shinana, he used to call him Sharpie. Kavatach mistavra, the truth is that I think you must be right, you know, because I'm thinking that Tznon is so full of haksha. Look, I mean, I'm complaining about your position because I'm saying it's going to harden. But if you leave a radish in the ground, it basically turns into an inedible piece of wood. You can't eat a radish. So, and nonetheless, people eat radishes all the time, and we do say Abor Priya Adoma. So, I mean, I think that maybe you're right, that we should say the same thing on the Koran, the shoot of the palm. But the truth is that that's not all that persuasive. Velohi, Shmuel's own Shevach of Rav Yehuda is a little iffy, because the point is that people will plant radish for the particular purpose of eating radishes. So it's known not to inishatai to the pugla. People plant the radish in order for them to take the, what we call the radish, they call the pugla as opposed to the tznon per se, which was the plant. We call the actual fruit the radish. But the pugla is what we would call a radish, meaning that soft part of it before it gets hard. So that means that the way in which we view this product of the earth is as the Borei Pri Adama. But you do not plant, I don't know anybody who plants a palm tree in order to wreck it by taking off the korah. That's not what it's for. And therefore, Shmuel's taina that it's going to be kosher in the end and it's part of the tree makes a lot of sense and is not comparable to the radish. Wait, so, I mean, now you're introducing a whole new thing over here now. This is the first time I heard this idea. You're telling me that the purpose of the planting in the first place is definitive in the bracha, which would mean that kol eichad lo nati ina shadai terachi lo mevarchin alei? If somebody didn't plant it up front for that purpose, then we will not make a bracha on it? How? What would you say about slav? Now, slav is a very complex plant. You see it all the time in Yerushalayim, growing out of the stones, between the stones. It's the caper. If you have an actual caper tree, it becomes a nice big tree, and it's very choshev. Well, you see, most of the time, you see it growing on the Kotel or on the buildings in Yerushalayim, old buildings. And it has in it various components that appear at different stages of the growth. So first, it's got these absolutely gorgeous flowers, really stunningly beautiful flowers, on the caper flowers. And then it turns into what people have, the caper berries, which are very popular for salad flavorings and so on. And the berry itself is surrounded by a nutty-like coating, which the Gemara examined separately, even though it's part of the caper berry, but it falls off as the berry matures. Now, as the fruit continues to mature, it turns into an actual fruit, which is not usually eaten, which is the caper fruit, which is called the aviona. So when it comes to the actual tzlaf, people plant the tzlaf because they like the caper berries, right? And it says in the Braita, I should say to Tanya, al minei nitzpa, on the various types of things that come from the caper. Al ha'alin v'al ha'tmarot. So we're talking about on the leaves and on the those pretty flowers and so on. On all of that, you say, e borei pri ha'adama. On the avionot and on the kafrisin. So now the avionot are the actual fruit. The kafrisim are the covering of the berry. And it's sort of like a husk, basically, but it's nutty and good to eat. And you could say on that, a borei pri ha'etz, because that's already part of the fruits. So even though you don't plant it for that purpose, you still, it says, you say ha'adama on the actual leaves and on the flowers. So apparently you're wrong. Just because you didn't plant it for that purpose doesn't mean you don't say a borei pri ha'adama on it. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, look, it's not quite true. Tzlaf not the inishadaita deshuta. You know, people plant a tree, a caper bush, they plant it for the idea that they're going to use it for whatever they can. I mean, it's all very nice to say that the ikar fruit may be the berry or maybe the aviona, but nonetheless, they have in mind that they're certainly going to be nenef from anything that they can that's edible. But when you plant a palm tree, you certainly do not intend to wreck the tree by eating the shoots. I mean, you may take one or two shoots off of it, but the intent is to allow the plant to grow and the tree to mature by not destroying it by taking off the shoots. The Afagav, the Kalsi Shmuel, Reb Yehuda, and the truth is, even though Shmuel said that he thinks Reb Yehuda makes a lot one, because he said Shinana, the truth is that the Hilchot HaZkavasir Shmuel, that you would say the Shahakol and not Ha'adoma. Om Reb Yehuda Marav Tzlav Shel Orla B'chutz La'aretz Zoreket Ha'avionot Ve'ochilat HaKafrisin. Now this halacha, there's two components over here. Okay, first of all is the interrelationship of the din of fruit vis-a-vis orla to the din of saying borei pri ha'etz. Now, obviously, orla is something that applies specifically, as the Torah says, unetatem kol etz ma'achal. So we're talking about the din of orla that applies specifically to trees. Now, trees have a very specific definition, lahalacha. So they have to be something where the actual trunk of the tree survives from year to year and not that it withers away, because that gives it a din of a vegetable. Halacha, it doesn't matter what the biology of it is. That's how we define it. So if you take a look at a pineapple or at a banana or at a papaya, even though those things look like they're trees, they're not trees, la halacha. And therefore, there wouldn't be a din of orla that would be associated with them. Now, when it comes to the tzlaf, it's going to be important for us, in order to be able to define the halacha, to define what the status is vis-a-vis orla. So that's one thing that we have to take into consideration. The other thing is that the din of orla in chutz la'aretz is only midrabanan. Me'ikar din orla is one of those dinim that is toloi in the kedusha sa'aretz. Now, the thing is that the rabbanan, because it's only Drabbanan, and wherever we have a machlokas, remember that the ruling is that if you have a suffix Drabbanan, you go lakula. If you have a suffix Diyaraisa, you go lachumra. Therefore, if somebody holds that something has a din of an eitz, and there's another shita that says that it has a din of a ha'adama, so in that case, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you would follow the chumra, because over there, the chiyav of orla is a diraisa, and you would be careful not to eat it. But when it comes to being in chutz la'aretz, over there you would go lakula, because you would rely on the shita that says that it is not considered to be a tree, and if it's a vegetable, clearly there's no isser of eating orla. Now, Rav Yehuda Marav says that where you have orla in chutz la'aretz, and you've got a tzlaf, what part of it can you eat without being concerned for the orla component? Well, you throw away the fruits, but you're allowed to eat the kafrisin, which are the husks around the berry. Now, that implies that the avionot are considered to be peirot, and the kafrisin is not considered to be a pri, but is that true? Veramino, didn't we just say a minute ago that on all types of nitzba, which means anything that's growing on a caper bush, alalim ve'al hatmarot omer borei pri ha'adama, ve'al ha'avionot ve'al ha'kafrisin omer borei pri ha'etz. Now, if you're telling me that I say borei pri ha'etz on the kafrisin, so apparently we're saying that they have a din of a pri. If that's the case, if they have a din of a pri, then why in the world are you allowed to eat them if they're orla? Answers the Gemara, it's true that this is against the Braita, but remember that there's another shita, because it's Yehudi Amrik Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda was quoting Rav, who may be going aliba the shita of Rabbi Akiva, who says Ditznan. He says in the Mishnah in Maestris that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tzlaf, we find the machlokas like this. Rabbi Eliezer holds that tzlaf is mit aser t'morot va'avionot v'kafrisin. That when you take off meiser from tzlaf, you have to take off meiser from the t'morais, or the flower growths, the avionot, the actual fruits, and the kafrisin, the husk around the berry. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, the only thing that you have to take off meiser is from the avionot. That's the only part that's considered to be a fruit. Everything else, and therefore, since it's a fruit, that would be the part that you would say ha'etz on, and that would be the part that you were chayev on orla, but nothing else. So then he's simply going according to Rabbi Akiva. throw out the avionot, because that's orla, and eat the rest. I understand. So then why did he have to say it like that? All he needed to say was, thou lookest like Rabbi Akiva, feels like Rabbi Akiva. No, that would be very misleading. Because if he would have said, the Amar Alok Rabbi Akiva, I might have thought that he means 100% Alok is like Rabbi Akiva, even in Eretz Yisrael, where over there the din of Orla is a Deiraisa. So by saying that Davka in Chutz La'aretz, that's what he said, if you're eating a Tzlaf in Chutz La'aretz, so then you can rely on the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, because the din is, Kamashman Kol HaMekel Ba'aretz, whoever would say that something even in Eretz Yisrael goes Lakula. So then in Chutz La'aretz, where the whole Isser is a Derabanan, you certainly would paskin like that. Therefore, he says, look, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, then all you need to do is throw out the avionot, but you can eat the rest, because the rest of it, according to Rabbi Akiva, who's Bekel in Eretz Yisrael, we paskin like him in Chutz La'aretz. So Halacha Gamoto b'Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael would have to be Machmer. That's why I said it that way. Okay, fine. So you still could have said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in Chutz La'aretz, and teach us that kol ha'mekel ba'aretz halacha kamoto b'chutz la'aretz. I mean, why not say the truth? Why are you saying it as if it's like this new shita that you're coming up with? Basically, what you're doing is paskening like the mekel in Chutz La'aretz. So say so. No, because if I would have said so, if I would have said that, so I might have thought that we're, remember Rabbi Akiva was not talking about Orla, right? Rabbi Akiva was talking about Meiser. Now, I might have thought, if I would have said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, I might have thought that that's true even only legabe what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. What was Rabbi Akiva talking about? He was talking about Meiser of the Ilan. Now, Meiser of the Ilan itself is even in Eretz Yisrael only Drabbanan, because Midiraisa, you don't take off a Meiser from caper. You take off Meiser from olives and from grapes and from and grain. So therefore, I understand that that means that even in Eretz Yisrael, Gufa, it's Derabbanan. Mashenken in Orla, which in Eretz Yisrael is Deoraita. Maybe I wouldn't be so Mekil. Maybe I would make a Gezerah. Once I'm telling you that you have to keep the Dinam of Orla in Chutz La'aretz, I might have thought that you have to keep the Dinam of Orla even for this. So Ema, B'Chutz La'aretz, Nami Nigzarko, Mashman. Therefore, comes along Rav Yudah Merav to say, this halacha, which indeed is predicated on Rabbi Akiva, is true not only legabe Meiser, it's true even legabe Orla in Chutz La'aretz. Ravina Ashkeri l'marba Ravashi de Kazarka Vionot, v'ko'ocho kafritin. So Marba Ravashi was there underneath this caper tree, and he's in Chutz La'aretz, and Ravina sees that he's throwing away the fruits, and he's eating these crunchy husks. So he said to him, Ravina said to him, why are you doing this? My daitcha, what, you think you're relying on Rabbi Akiva that is being mekel? If the idea over here is to follow the das of the mekel, then you're not doing the right thing, because you could find an even bigger mekel. And if you go even according to the bigger mekel, who is Beit Shammai, so then you would be able to eat all of this. Because Levin Marka Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai is mekel more than Rabbi Akiva, because it says in, again, this is a bright, even though it says it's none, and it's Salaf, Beit Shammai Omrim Kilayim Bekaran. According to Beit Shammai, planting caper in a vineyard is considered to be kaloya kerem, which means, by definition, that that is a vegetable and not a tree. Now, if it's a, because there's no din of kaloya kerem, of planting trees in a kerem, which would mean that according to Beit Shammai, there is no orla whatsoever that is said on caper. And if there's no orla, so then you can rely on him in Chutz La'aretz. You should be able to even eat the avionot. So by throwing out the avionot, you're basically being machmir instead of following the sheet of the most mekel in Chutz La'aretz. It's Beit Hillel that say that no, it's not kilayim because it's a tree. Ve'elu ve'elu modim, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that you're chayiv in orla. What are you talking about? That makes no sense. A gufa kasha. Wait a second. First, you said that according to Beit Shammai, tzlaf is kiloyim bekerem, which means it's a vegetable. Alma min yeriku. And then you turn around and you say it's kiloyim, it's chayiv ba'orla. If it's chayiv ba'orla, it has to be kind of tree. That's not a problem. The point is that Beit Shammai himself was not sure. Beit Shammai was being machmir in both directions. So therefore, Beit Shammai is svukim esafkele. When it comes to the din of kilayim in a kerem, he said, listen, I'm worried that a caper is a veggie, in which case you can't plant it in a kerem. On the other hand, when it comes to the din of orla, he says, listen, I'm not sure. I mean, it could be a caper is really a tree. And if it's a tree, so then you're chayev an orla, so I'll be machmer in that also. Fine, but the fact is it's suffix, right? Now, the din is a suffix derabon and is lakula. So according to Beit Shammai, since caper is a suffix orla, in chutz la'aretz, if I'm relying on Beit Shammai, I should be allowed to eat it because suffik drabon and lukula vitznan. Suffik orla be'eretz Yisrael is osir, but in Surya, which are the lands that David HaMelech had conquered, it's mutter. If it's a suffik, and in chutz la'aretz, you could even be more makel, because even if you know that a guy is selling orla, and he's got like an orchard in which he has both types of plants, he has some kind of trees that are orla, some trees that aren't orla, you don't have to worry about it. As long as you don't see him picking orla, and he's got a roadside stand of selling fruits, you're allowed to go and buy it, yored, you go down, and you buy it as long as as long as you don't see him picking from the actual orla tree. So anyway, why then do you think you're so smart? You got it all worked out that the halacha is like the making of chutzlars. If the halacha is like the making of chutzlars, then why be machmer like Rabbi Akiva? If you could go all the way lakula, leave it to Beit Shammai, and then you'd be able to eat the avionot, because according to him, it's a suffix whether a caper bush is b'chalal even considered to be a tree. And then you wouldn't have a problem. And says the Gemara, you're 100% right. The problem is that Rabbi Beit Shammai's shita keneged Beit Hillel is not considered to be a shita at all. You could be makel on, and therefore, if you've got a question of whether you're going to go a little bit of Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Eliezer argues with him, yes, Rabbi Akiva, b'mokum Rabbi Eliezer, you could be samech on a chutz la'aretz. But Beit Shammai, b'mokum Beit Hillel, we have a klal that ain't a mishnah. It's not considered to be an alternative, and therefore, we do not take it into consideration. Mamela, I'm right in at least throwing away that vionot, even though I'm relying on Rabbi Akiva to eat the rest of the caper. V'tepekle dinaseh shomer lapri. Wait, there's a whole other issue over here. Because we have a pasuk that talks about orla, and what it says is, va'araltem arlato et pirio. Now, why does it say et pirio? It could have said, va'araltem arlato pirio. Whenever we use et, the meaning of et is that it's marba in a pasuk, something that is secondary to, ancillary to. And therefore, over here, we use it to teach me that even a shomer to a pri is considered to be part of the din of orla. So et would mean tafel lepirio. In this case, what would be the tafel lepirio that is chayav in orla? A shomer. And since over here, the husk around the caper berry protects it, so why isn't included in the din of orla? You're right. Let's say we'll be shomer on Rabbi Akiva that the din is that it's not a fruit, but it's a shomer to a fruit. And if it's a shomer to a fruit, that itself is mechayev in orla. So how did we get away with eating it in chutz la'aretz? Omar Rova, this is not a valid shomer. I'll tell you why. Because Echam Rinan, the Nasi Shomer Lapri, the only time that something is a shomer is where the shomer survives both when the pri is attached to the eitz and also when you pick it off. In this case, the husk around the caper is only survives b'mechuber ise, but once it's talush, it does not remain on the caper berry. And therefore, it's not considered to be a shomer. That's not a real shomer. Hey, that's not true. Excuse me? It's 100% wrong. I'll bring you an example of places where, in fact, something falls off after you take the fruit off of the tree, and it says beferish that it is considered to be a shomer, not like what you're claiming. And that would be the case in the Mishnah in Uktin, which talks about a pitma shel rimon mitzarefes, the pitam of the pitam is like the one, the same idea of an esrog. So we have something that sticks out. The truth is, it's really a machlokas, whether it's referring to something that sticks out of the top or whether it's on the other end, which is the sprout on the top that is mechuber to the tree. But okay, this is a machlokas, really, between the Mefarshim and the Mishnah and Rashi. But in any event, whatever it is, the din is that the pitom of the rimon is considered to be mitzarif to the shear of a kibetza legabe tumas oichlin, but the nates of the rimon, that is not able to be mitzarif, and the nates grows around the pitay, and that is similar to the husk that is here, and it says the nates shelo eno mitzarif implies that it is not part of the shear of a kezias, which means it's not edible, correct? Now, fine, so far I haven't proven anything to you. Now, here's the next piece. When it comes to the dinim of Orla, it says in the Mishnah, Vitznan gabe Orla, the klipei rimon and the nates are chayev and Orla, even though I just proved to you that it's not considered to be part of the fruit. Now, how the heck do you explain that? I'll tell you how, because it's a shomer. Now, it happens to be that, as everybody knows, the nates falls off when you pick this rimon, and nonetheless, it's considered to be a shomer, so there goes your argument, Rava. Okay, says Rava, you're right. That's not the reason. Okay, I made a mistake. There's another reason, however, why the nates, why the husk of the aviona is not considered to be a shomer. And I'll tell you why that is. Because, hey, chamrinu nasilu shomer leperiyech de'ita bishat gmar peri. The point is this. A shomer, you're right. It doesn't have to survive when you pick it off of the tree. But I still maintain that in order for it to be a shomer, it has to be on the fruit until the fruit matures. And in the case of the kafrisin, however, that falls off before the fruit matures. And because of that, it's not considered to be a shomer. Says the Gemara, also not a valid argument. Any, is that really true? Ha'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, that the mitachle, the orla, are asire. So the dates have that covering over the date, which is similar to it's exactly the same. As a matter of fact, it falls off at an early stage, just like the husk of the caper falls off. And yet it says over here that the mitchale of orla are considered to be osir, even though they're not edible, because they're considered to be a shomer of the date. Now, at what point are they a shomer of the date? Only while the date is still very small. And that's the stage of kufra. And it's calling it a shomer leperi. Once it's beyond kufra, you don't find that husk around a date, my friends. So you see from here that a shomer is called a shomer even when it falls off before the fruit matures. So now how could we say that? That's because, I'll tell you, Rav Nachman, he holds that the mitachle is considered to be a shomer because he follows the shita of Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi calls a very immature fruit a full-grown fruit. And therefore, since it falls off at that time, bekufra, Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, kufra is considered to be a mature enough fruit, even though it's still very small. It's not, because it says in Orla, in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yossi Omer, simadar asur mipnei shu pri. He holds that even the very small bud on a vine of Orla is already considered to be a fruit, even though everybody else sees it only as a bud. So the same way that Rabbi Yossi holds that a small grape, which is not yet at all normally considered to be a fruit, it's just a bud, he says it's also as orla. So according to him, he would say that the kufra, which is the same stage on a date that simadar is on a grape, so he would say that's considered to already be a fruit. Therefore, according to that, since the mitchale is present at the stage of kufra of the date, it's considered to be a shomer. But what Rava was saying is still true, that if something is not there at the stage where it's mature, then it's not considered to be a shomer. And since nobody else agrees that such a small fruit is considered to be already a fruit, when it comes to the caper, I'm not going like Rabbi Yossi. What do I have to go like Rabbi Yossi for? The Rabbanan argue on him. I'm going like the Rabbanan. That's not called a fruit. Matkif la Rav Shimi Minarda, even on this, is it true that the Rabbanan argue on all fruits? Or is it possible that the Rabbanan are only arguing on the case of the small grapes? Because, I mean, you're trying to apply the Rabbanan even to caper. And if you take a look at the following Mishnah, Vatznan, this Mishnah in Shvius, now the Mishnah in Shvius, how is Shvius Nogea this then? I'll tell you. Shvius is Nogea because remember that the Torah says that the Gidulai Ha'aretz is Lachem Lo Ochla. You have to keep Shvius things to eat, right? So now, suppose you have a very poorly producing tree. Now, normally you're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree, but there are stages at which the fruit is no longer considered valuable enough for you to have to keep the tree. And there, it's considered to be not baltashkes to cut down the fruit tree in order to replace it with a better, more productive tree. The problem is that if it's the year of Shemitah, you would not be allowed to cut down the tree. Why? Because since there are fruit on the tree, and the Torah says that the perot ha'aretz are lachem la'ochla, so you don't have a right to destroy it. It's la'ochla v'lo la'ashchit. You're not allowed to use it for anything else. Now, that would mean that the moment that we establish that the size of a particular fruit is already called a fruit vis-a-vis the din of not being allowed to cut it down during Shemitah and ruining the tree, so then that ought to be the same halacha that would apply to the dinim of Orla and so on, because now you're defining it as a fruit. Now, you're claiming that the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Yossi about all types of trees, and they hold that something the size of Kufra or Simadar, the equivalent size, would be considered to be not a fruit. I don't think that you're right, because take a look at this. Says in the Mishnah in Shemitah, at what stage are you not allowed to cut down fruit trees during the Shemitah when they already have fruit? Beit Shammai Omrim, all trees cannot be cut down the moment that they are Mishiotziu, the moment that they put out a bud on of the fruit, that's it. You're not allowed to cut it down. Beit Hillel says, no, that's not a general rule. There are trees that you have to look at the way that that particular tree grows its fruit. For instance, if you have charuvim, so you have carob trees, that is not from the first moment you can make out a bud. That would be mishiyashreshu. That would be when they have like chain-like growth, so the carobs look like they're mamish on a chain. Gifanim, if you're talking about grapes, it's dafka from the size of geirua, which we'll see in a moment what that is. So it's dafka misha yigaru. If you're talking about olives, it's from the time when misha netsu, when that nates, which is that little surrounding bit, surrounds the fruit. And other ilanot are very early on. That we agree. That sharkala ilanot mishiyotziu. Okay, now, this is the clinch, is that Rav Asi explained that the word girua that is mentioned here is exactly the same as the shear of boser. Hu boser, hu girua, hu pol halavan. So boser is the, which is a very small size of a developing grape. That is the same size as girua. And it says over here, gefonim mishi yegaru. And that is the same as the pol halavan. Pol halavan? What the heck are you talking about, man? A pol halavan is, we're talking about grapes. What does that have to do with beans? I don't mean it's a pol halavan. I mean it's the same size as a pol halavan. It's like a little tiny white bean. That's all I'm telling you. Anyway, so you see from here, from what Rav Asi said, now when it talks about girua, that's the same thing as boser, which means that by definition, since it's the size of a pol halavan, that is much more mature than the size of the simadar, which we said before, that's when those blossoms, they fall off. And therefore, think about this for a second. What is the implication of all of this? Man shamet le diomer boser in smadar lo the rabbonon. The only ones who said that the shear of boser is the only thing that's considered to be a grape. But less than that is not. That's dafka, the ones who argue with Rabbi Yossi. And that is what it's saying over here. And nonetheless, that sheet that it's arguing on Rabbi Yossi that you claim you're relying on says beferish over here that any other tree, Mishiotziu. So obviously you have no right to claim that they argue about capers. Oh, shoot, says Rava. Okay, fine. So I'll have to give you another explanation. Okay, I give up on this one too, all right? But you know why it's not considered to be a shomer? Because, hey, chamrin davi shomer la priyecha de kikashalka leila shomer mayet pera. Haka kishakata leila mayet pera. You know what a shomer is? A shomer is something that is so central to the survival of the fruit that if you pick it off, the fruit will die. And in the case of the caper, if you pull off the husk, it will not affect the fruit. And therefore, it's not considered to be a shomer. And we actually tried this out. Havi uvda, we took off the nates of a rimon, and sure enough, the rimon died. It dried. And they took off a pircha of a caper, of a bitita, vikayim bitita, and the caper actually survived just fine. So you see from here that indeed there is a difference in terms of the din of the Shmira. V'hilchata, now this is not, we don't have this girsa because it's really not part, this is from the Bahag. So we'll leave this out. What about pilpili? How about peppers? Now peppers is a very interesting thing because pepper is actually part of the tree, not really part of the fruit of the tree. And therefore, the question is, what bracha do we make on a pepper? So, pilpili, Rav Shesha says, you say shahakol. Rava says, pepper is not a food. You don't make any bracha. It's a spice, and you wouldn't eat a pepper on its own. And therefore, lo klum, the other Rav Lataime, this is Rava Shita in general, because Rava says, even if it's Yom Kippur, and you're chewing on peppers, you're not over on the issur of eating on Yom Kippur, and you're potter. And therefore, obviously, it's not going to be chayv in a brocha during the year. Kas is angabil. The word kas means chewing on a non-edible substance. So if you're kas ginger, zangabil, on Yom Kippur, you're also potter. Mesve. How can you say that pepper is not considered to be a fruit? Rabbi Meir says, Mimash Vashinem Avaraltam Arlato et Pirio, Eitz Machalu. And you dash Eitz Machalu? I mean, if you're telling me it's fruit, obviously, if it has a fruit, then it has to be a fruit tree. Elamata Melomer Eitz Machalu. The point is beautiful. Eitz Machal. That is so primal in the story of creation. An Eitz Machal means that the tree, the wood, is suitable for eating. And that's talking about an eitz with a tam of the eitz, and the part that you want to eat tastes exactly the same. And that is a reference to pilpulim, which teaches you that pepper is chayiv in orla, which meanwhile also tells you, if orla is a din dafkin Eretz Yisrael, it teaches you she'ein Eretz Yisrael chaseira klum. You don't have to go to India to find pepper. You can have pepper in Eretz Yisrael. Shenamar Eretz asher lo b'miskenut tochal ba'alechem lo techsar kol ba. There's nothing missing if you know where to grow it. But anyway, it says over here that pepper is considered to be a fruit. Lokasha. Rabbi Meir and Rava were referring to two different things. One is referring to fresh pepper, beretivta. That's a fruit. Rava was talking about like the peppercorns that you buy in a spice shop that you have to grind up in order to, that is not considered to be a fruit. That's beavishta. If you're chewing on ginger on Yom Kippur, you're potter. But how could that be? This, they had this kind of delicious mixture of ginger and honey and all kinds of flavorings. And it would come from India or from Ethiopia, depending how you learn Hindu. Is mutter to eat. You don't have to worry about its being usser because of bishul akum. And you don't have to worry about its being cooked in non-kosher pots. And you're allowed to eat it. And you say a bracha bari priyat hadoma. Now, the main ingredient over here was ginger. And yet it says you make a bari priyat hadoma. Yeah, but obviously, lokasha. Oberetivta. One is talking about where it's dried out ginger, and that is not considered to be food on Yom Kippur. And this thing is talking about this whole delicious, soft, fresh ginger, which in fact it gives you a real kick, but it's certainly considered to be a fruit. Okay, gentlemen, so we've got some fascinating interrelated halachas about the dinim of eitz that are nogeah, so many different sugyas that it's really, really fascinating. What is considered to be the din of the eitz vis-a-vis bracha, vis-a-vis orla, vis-a-vis Meiser, and here in terms of the question of whether it's actual fruit or whether it's really a piece of the tree itself. Okay, more exciting sugyas coming up Ezrat Hashem tomorrow. Hopefully see you. Ezrat Hashem Yisbarach. Have a wonderful Shavua Tov u'mevorach. Hinei El Yeshua Si. Kol Tov. Shavua Tov u'mevorach.